Welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro with Reading How. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. This is another good day on Forest Avenue. I'm learning and settling in to my home as best as I can. I have this thing about bugs, so I don't even like going outside. But I'm finding that my porch back is a possible spot. As long as I don't see stuff flying around me, I should be okay. And as we go into the fall, that should become a good thing. But I digress about the bug situation. In this episode, I'm going to get into more about what I'm reading, COVID shenanigans, what I'm watching, what I'm eating, what I'm writing, and also the assault on freedom or the war on freedom. I hope you enjoy listening to my musings, and thank you for your support. That's Have Mercy by Chloe, one of her recently, I'm assuming, singles. You know, when I'm really old, and you gotta look up when songs release. The VMAs was recently, and I can truly say I didn't recognize any of the stars except for Chloe, who is a protege of Beyonce and Lil Nas X. Everybody else, whatever. But this is a song I actually really like. Oh, Meg Thee Stallion. She's also one of my favorites. And my playlist, one podcast, is really Meg Thee Stallion heavy, as well as a variety of things. But this next section, I'm just going to be talking about COVID. And I actually have been doing this a lot recently. I try not to focus too heavily on the bad news about COVID. And there's plenty of that to go around. One of the good news about COVID is, I don't know if it's good news or not, there have been over 627 cases, 627 deaths in Hamilton County is where I live. Total 15,000 in Tennessee. I wouldn't trust those numbers because as of late, the health departments in different counties have stopped reporting or have stopped reporting accurately. I guess they basically say that if we kind of ignore it, maybe it'll go away. However, I don't think that is a possibility. It's not going to go away. This Delta variant is even causing New Zealand and Australia to abandon their zero COVID because they have these lockdowns and COVID keeps sneaking through. I think it keeps sneaking in because people are not being totally honest about their status and they're not being as careful as they can be. We can't go into another lockdown, even though I thought we would probably have because we have no social infrastructure anymore. They say all the funds that have been in place or that were from the government that were released, they got these Republican states like my own that haven't even spent the money. But you still got evictions coming up. You still got people in the bread line. You still have people, their unemployment is ending. And you're saying that you're not spending the money. Well, why is it still sitting there? Is it still getting interest? What's going on? We got 10-year-olds and kids on ventilators. We got people equally frustrated about still people denying COVID and misinformation. And then we got still people. I'm reading this on Fox News, and I'm not even going to spend a whole bunch of time on it, but we got people dying on a ventilator, and the patient still doesn't believe he has COVID. He thinks it's something else. Okay, whatever. But that's neither here nor there. There is some good news as far as the, what is it called? The Merck pill for COVID, which has led me to the whole segment on following the money as well, or show me the money or follow me the money or however you want to diagnose it. There is a new treatment, an oil treatment called Monopavir by Merck that basically sent that stock on an all-time high, trading on an all-time high. And it basically, how it works, it basically acts like a snipping tool or an edit tool, and it basically cuts errors into the genetic makeup of the virus so it can't replicate or it can't reproduce. And therefore, if it can't reproduce, it can't overwhelm the system. But I think COVID-19 is like Shigella. It only takes a couple of those particular organisms to call you to get the worst diarrhea and meningitis of your life. But it is game changing. But this actually is one of those treatments that the earlier you possibly give it when the viral load is low, probably the better off you are. And they're applying for emergency usage, but why not just get the vaccine? However, you can still get the vaccine because I used to do this myself. As a hospitalist, when I was in practice as a contractor, I knew if I did not have PDO, I did not have leave when I worked as a contractor. If I did not work, I did not get paid. So I made sure I got my flu vaccine every year, and I would go on prophylactic Tamiflu because I could not afford to get sick. What we're seeing now with COVID is not only are people, if you get COVID, you can actually get it again. If you have the vaccine, you can still get this Delta variant or the Alpha variant, which is out there, which is highly infectious, and you can still be symptomatic. I wanted to prevent myself from ever getting ill. So that's why I would get my yearly flu shot, and then I would go on Tamiflu every single year. It was like a 5-day course. And besides now wearing a mask, I'm finding that I was healthy and I didn't even get as many colds, but I think it was just because I didn't get the flu over and over and over again. So it's a huge advance as far as in the treatment of this horrible disease, but at the same time, it still does not replace you getting the vaccine. My thing would be get the vaccine. And if they come up with this, it's a treatment, but if they come up with, if you are in one of those high-risk groups or in those areas where the viral activity is really high, and then they can probably recommend that you go prophylactically on the Merck pill or MK44082. Which I think would be pretty awesome. And this goes on what I wanted to talk about. Just kind of, I'm going to actually put my watch list, my medical watch list on in the podcast notes. In a cynical rant from my previous show, I was talking about following the money, how donors for one of the Republican governors, Ron DeSantis. They're making massive contributions to these PACs. And even though it's ethically disgusting, it still is a possibility that I think there are illegal donations from possibly from a lot of these pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, to these PACs to get to show to curry favor, to get their lobbyist before Congress, or it's a part of some overall major grift that I can actually seriously can still see happening today. But that's basically neither here nor there as far as what I found when I did my stock picks. But I did find that, yes, COVID is big money. And we got hedge funds that are betting big on some of these major major players as far as PPE. But the Johnson & Johnsons, the Moderna, the Pfizer of it all, they are actually trading at remarkable amounts. I was shocked that Pfizer is trading at only $42.38 and with a one-year high of as high as saying that Pfizer stock has traded as low, one-year low, as low as 30, about 36 bucks, and it also as high as in the 50s. There are ridiculous stocks like Moderna that are now trading, they closed today at $324 a share. If you have the cash to be able to buy it, but it's just like Google, it's just like, is it Regeneron? Yes, Regeneron, which makes the antibodies or the monoclonal antibodies, which is close today at $5.50. It's down like 15 bucks at 2.67%. But stocks like Merck, wait a minute. That is looking kind of crazy. It appears at its lowest point, I could have swore at one point today that there's a lot of volume, a lot of trade volume in a positive direction with this particular stock. And they had a low, it appears. They were trading as low as less than $71 or close to $70 a share, but they actually closed at $83 and some change or $82 and some change at the closing bell today. The moving average, actually, it seems like Wall Street is kind of bullish on that particular stock, and it's a possibility that and it pulled back a little bit, but Merck basically outperforms the market plus play the reopening trade on Merck's Oral. And a lot of the ETFs are actually buying up this particular stock. So a lot of, it looks like, as I said, many of like the street and the construct, they're all, but Market Edge is saying avoid. But this may be, if you're looking to buy and hold based on this very good news and how it outperformed. And it still has some room to run up. So I had somebody earlier this morning basically said that the target, it may trade as high as $104 dollars a share. I don't know how long that is going to last, but it's also worth seeing just how much it can be, because that's actually what a return of like 20%, is it 2% or 20%, which is not that bad. So if you had something like, let me do the math on this. So if it goes up, like right now, you had like $5,000 and you bought at like 82 bucks a share. That's actually about 61 shares of this stock. So at 61 shares with the original investment of $5,000, and now if it's trading at $104 a share, yeah, it's not bad. That's like $1,300 profit that you make on a modest investment of $5,000. And I have a dog that has decided to start stealing paper. So I don't know where she got that from. Where did you get that from, little dog? Stop eating crazy stuff. So there's my little fussing at my dog between my neighbors and the blowers and my crazy dog. Girl, it's becoming annoying. Trying to tape this episode when I am trying, you know, I have so much to talk about, but that's neither here nor there. However, as the trading, you know, kind of settles down for a minute, I would love to invite most people to bet on themselves, to have different streams of income, and take a look at these stocks and do the research for yourselves. For example, a modest gain of $1,300 is nothing to sneeze at. And if you have $5,000 that you would want to consider investing, looking at some of these medical or biotech stocks is not a bad thing. Adding things like GlaxoSmithKline, which is, you could pick up for a modest $38.40 a share. They're actually having some trouble with the activist company that's coming after them and trying to replace a female, their female president. I hope that she can toe the line and they're going to make some great changes, because there's so many things down the pipeline that I would be interested in and that can make a difference to humanity. 3M still has some room to run. Let me see if the news. They are trading at a whopping closing. They closed today at $176 and six and some change per share. However, JP Morgan downgraded them downgraded their credit. And they have a Target, a 3M price cut by Barclays, and they also cut the price by JP Morgan. And at 210 a share, that's actually down off of 215, but that's still a whole crap load of money. But in the short term, who has, it would be very interesting in seeing and making comparisons, a lot of these stock picks. If you only have 5 G's to invest, would you risk it on, because that's over what? That's a little bit less percentage. Let's see. The same $5,000 a share, $5,000 you would invest if you were to invest with 3M, and you could only get like 28 shares. But then if it were trading at 200, that is only a paltry $795 that you could actually make by paying more for the stock, but you're only going to make a whole bunch less money. So it would make behoove you, if you had 5 G's to drop, maybe avoiding the 3 M's of it all. And with, the guidance on Merck, seriously consider, because if their price target for the next 6 months is when it trades that high, you actually can make so much more money at that price, and it can support by the, it looks like that high volume, the volume actually would support that. AbbVie is another one to take a look at. They actually, the price, it outperforms the market instead of it pulling back a little bit, and it pulled back to a whopping $108 a share. But they got, they had some issues with Rinvoq, their arthritis medication, and the potential, the black box label as far as cardio effect. But we don't have anything like since Celebrex, it actually does. And they got migraine medications. They got so many. They have so many possible great things coming down the market that I am going to look up what they're absolutely saying. What is it? AbbVie price target in news. What are they, what did I say? Let's see. Bull flag and why some might use to buy and sell signals. So I am going ABBV. Price target. They are actually predicting a target price for AbbVie anywhere between 105 and 148, and it's trading, or it closed today at, wait a minute, at 108. So if it trades at 128, that's not a whole bunch of money, But let's do that math. $5,000 divided by 108 gets you 46 shares. So if it actually trades somewhere in the middle, like the average $128 a share, still only a modest nine. It still looks like Merck is set to make probably one of the biggest jumps out of all the stocks that are absolutely, because they got the volume to support it, at 53.52 million shares that moved. It sounds like they still are on target to make one of the biggest move. And if you got 5Gs, you can actually make $1,300, which is nothing to sneeze at. I'm also going to look up one of the biggest AMC price target. One of the biggest or the largest holdings in my own personal portfolio is AMC. I bought in when it was trading at like 13 bucks a share, and now it's priced at like 37, close to that 37.12. Which I am going to need to change my holdings in it because the average price target for that particular share, because of the whole GameStop thing, is only like $11 and some change. So before it shrinks back too much, I probably need to reduce, because I made a grip on it when I bought 13 bucks a share. And it's still, I believe it's still at a bargain. At 36 bucks, but I'm not going to increase my position on it because I think that would be completely nuts. So what are my top picks for my medical heavy? I'm going to look up one more stock. RGN. Is it RGN? Regeneron, the maker of REGN. REGN target stock price. The maker of the monoclonal antibody. Holy shit. The average price target is about $710. So it closed post-market today at 555. I'm thinking the institutional buyers are basically soaking up or buying up that particular stock. Oops. So it's $5,000 and you at 5.5 a share, you only get like 9 shares of this stock. But if it were to trade, or if you were to sell at the price target of $710 a share, which seems to be an outrageous amount of money, you can actually make just as much, but only with non-share stocks, at $13.90 that you could possibly make, and maybe make even a little bit higher than you could actually get if you were to purchase for more money the Merck. So with that said, and they're not even trading. Is it trading? They're volume is not even all that high. I guess at $550 a freaking share. But looking at the, not just looking at how much disposable income that you actually have, which stocks are basically trading at the most volume, that could be a mark of volatility or people are trying to get in. But probably the one that you could potentially make a mint with, and which would be not such a bad investment, would be, it sounds like it's the Merck, with Merck, just because they have such a high volume and it's still at a pretty reasonable price to basically get in now. I wish I had known about this like 30 bucks ago, but, and to make a higher margin. But as far as if it did get to that target price of $110 a share, you still can get it. It's still pretty well discounted, and you can still have the biggest. If you have $5,000, you can actually still make the biggest gains. I would leave 3M alone right now. AbbVie, look into it because it also has such great potential, and there's so many great medications that they're going to be releasing out that are going to be that are going to be so instrumental and which going to be helpful for just mankind, between migraines and atopic dermatitis and arthritis. They actually have some very good medications that are actually coming out or in their pipeline. GSK, don't sleep on them. They're having some issues with those lobbyists or those activists, stock activists, but they also have several billion-dollar war chests at their disposal, so don't sleep on GSK either. So top stock pick, Merck, AbbVie, and GSK, definitely in that order. I recently remarked to a friend of mine how I, for about a year and a half, even starting prior to the COVID panorama, that I felt as if there was always rumbling or something's going to happen, and I felt that I was in limbo or eternally waiting, and I didn't know what for. And then the pandemic hit, and then there's a lot of other things hit. There's wars and other big shifts, and I wasn't paying attention to a lot of these things, but the attacks on democracy and the increases in terroristic attacks have been going on in the Middle East. A lot of things have been low-key under the radars. We had many, at several school shootings, we had people just seeming like they were wilding out. And then you got people standing flat-footed and not wanting to look at these things, figure out the root cause, and make sure that they didn't happen again. It was best to ignore them. Critical race theory, why that dude Ron, the senator from South Carolina, the black senator from Ron from South Carolina, and Candace Owens, why they all are misguided. How Clarence Thomas has always been misguided, and he's willfully misguided. And that's what I think it makes it difficult for people to support a black conservative, because these people are willingly and willfully misguided, and they don't see the error of alliance with the political system like the GOP that makes absolutely no sense. And I don't know if some of the most progressive or the most aggressive of the Democrats, if they even have the right idea. I think there is a middle road to toe, because when you kind of right in the middle and you still get things done, that's also the issue. We got so many people that are so extreme to either side that they are not getting anything done. And then there are a whole bunch of people that say they are moderate or progressive and they still ain't getting shit done. So whenever you have these really hiccups and you have a slam down on freedoms is when the society actually takes major shifts. And that's what the whole purpose of this section is about. We look to the time where the pilgrims absolutely left England and what was going on in Europe at that time. We look at every great white migration. And in retrospect, the settlers first to this country and then an expansion out west. And it happened and there were no rules, like the Wild Wild West. Well, what about the Wild Wild East? They tried to set up theocracies here, but that was not going to hold. Then you got the French-Spanish Indo Wars. And then we realized that we couldn't technically have a theocracy because that wasn't going to fly, because there were different Protestant religions here. But we couldn't keep having allegiance to a monarchy because that was not that Declaration of Independence. And when you think about it, some of the first settlers here were probably rule breakers, and they weren't as bad as the penal colony in Australia. But they really were not into the whole thing about following authoritarian rules. I would gather there were probably a lot more sociopaths than there were the middle of the road. But the middle of the road people seem to have the money to actually, the George Washingtons and of them all, could make the sociopaths shut up for just a second and keep them under wraps until they divided and multiplied like amoebas. But with this new freedoms, it was a newness that you had to have a great education. And this was, again, only for the white male Protestant. And other African Americans and people, brown people, that were just light enough to pass. Only some women snuck through because of this paternalistic wide view that allowed a few to get in. Our society picked and chose what European ideas, from fashion with Victorian strictures. They said that we garnered our freedom back in 1776, but some things we still emulated in on 20. Even though to support our agrarian society, it needed human fuel. The transatlantic slave trade became even more important with a ready supply from the west coast of Africa. And it went on and went on until the Europeans banned it. But we still needed the means to operate those plantations. And don't think just because the slave trade, and slavery was banned in Europe and England, don't believe the hype that those same businessmen from the Dutch trading system and a lot of the old money families still didn't own plantations throughout South America and the Caribbean. Don't even trip, y'all. And the tea plantations in India, don't believe the hype. They were not They just were low key about it, but they were not as enlightened. Then came the cry for freedom, but it was more than economics. It was a great push to modernize and to leave behind economy. Again, dollars and pounds that drove the need to and the want to modernize and industrialize. And it was so much money. If they could have just saw the forest before the trees, if they could modernize, there was so much greater money absolutely to be made. But they dug in their heels and wanted to hold on to these barbaric ways because there was a clear delineation about the haves and have-nots, and a need to be superior. And who would feel superior over a tractor? Even though it could make you more money and it would be less expensive to maintain. And it wasn't barbaric. And you didn't grind people into the soil like such fodder. But you could gain more because of the superiority with chattel and forced labor. And you could justify it in your mind. But then when you have an entire war and only part of the war was fought because of slavery, not only do you have other men that look like you and the men that you said weren't men, all of them are coming towards you. And can you imagine the hatred, the seething hatred, and you can't do anything? Fought an entire war, seeing whole families ripped apart. Fathers losing their brothers, sons losing their father. And then, as the North turned his back, the debacle that was Reconstruction happen. Anytime you force sociopaths at gunpoint to do anything, they will lie and rape for a minute, but then they will explode retribution. They will pass all laws contrary and more restrictive prior to the war. And then there's nothing for almost a century. They allowed these fools to operate, rewrite books, turn back every single freedom gain, and completely ignored the Constitution for 100 years. And then there were other societal shifts. Spanish-American War, First and Second World Wars, where African Americans and other brown people, native indigenous people, fought gallantly. We got our taste of freedom. Even though dysentery and the Spanish flu took us out in the trenches and then on our way back home. And then we would come back from these wars in our time experiencing a relative freedom in Europe to riots and Klan attacks and lynchings. And then we'd march forward. We had a history and there is a continual oppressive historical accounting where a lot of these things are just coming to light. We don't know of the Ida B. Wells investigation and first investigative reporting on the lynchings, several thousand lynchings throughout the South. We're just learning the details of the burning and the riot on Black Wall Street in Oklahoma and that there was such a thing as the Black Wall Street. We excel in spite of the misdirected hate, because we're just trying to get ours and to exist. In the meantime, we're called terrorists. And we are, have always struggled to be a part of a middle class, but it's always been an uneasy existence. We always need to always code shift and present as harmless, not to have any attention, positive or negative, because we know that our presence in this middle class is so uneasy. But you can't exist in a vacuum. We have equal rights to live, to go to school where we want, to work and marry for anywhere and anyone we want to. And then when we have another major shift was the civil rights movement. We were fighting for rights that we already had by 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment. But we had to remind these fools and make an amendment to the amendment so we can actually, all of us, work and live and vote. And then there's another slimy and grimy underground that orders a hit on the president, his brother, Martin, Malcolm, Medgar. I just realized they all, the first name starts with M. Taking out the potential competition just to protect the status quo, even though the status quo won't shit. Then there was a tumultuous ending and beginning in the 60s and 70s. The rise of the suburban white middle class, the decline of the cities, and the ghettos got worse, poverty worsened, abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, all of those things worsened. When it was thought, when you were urban, you were automatically cast as the scum of the earth. But it was also a time of, it seems like, some positivity with music and art was still very plentiful because that was the only outlet. And if you could create, you could create your own good time. And there was an underground renaissance of sorts. Out of poverty and hurt and pain came greatness. And then another economic shift came, even in spite of Reaganomics, with both Bushes and then the Clintons, and again the rise of technology, the go-go of the 80s and the 90s, and the rebuilding of the cities, when art became lucrative, and then the start of wine EFTs, and then even with the collapse of major banks, Ford, General Motors, there was a retraction and then there was an attraction, and we had amazing expansion of our economy. All at the same time, expanding social programs, because we prove you can save the economy and you can take care of the people of the economy. And then a deadpan 4 years where they coasted and they coasted, and then COVID blew it all up. And there was a death-defining moment where people wanted to dismantle everything just because this black man and his administration did it. It had nothing to do with the policies being the best thing. It had nothing to do that it shored us up And if it had continued, we would not have had the backlash and the shortfalls that we actually are experiencing now, and we wouldn't have been knocked sideways. But it wasn't the economic policies of the previous administration, not the last 4 years, but the prior administration, because it was the dismantling during this last administration that led us to right where we are. And there's been a concerted effort to erase all of those gains. And it culminates to people thinking that they have been wronged and slighted because they have not been allowed to share in the opulence experienced by a very small minority or a majority of people. So you have them rewriting and taking away your ability to vote, right to life. Their rules, their beliefs are only for a select group operating in impunity. And then there's this overcorrection where this wide conservative run on the freedoms that everyone has experienced again for the last half to entire century. And it's during these sociopaths that you get people like Trump and people like this Bannon fool that's setting up the agenda for the next sociopathic White House. Again, wanting to reverse every productive stride and represent the negativity of an inherent racist society. And they can potentially ride the wave. They can. There's 75 million people that basically said that we with that shit. Because these are fools that got their votes counted. And they're going to, now we're learning that they probably will continue to have social media running the biggest flim-flam and spreading this flim-flammery to all of us. We got governors wanting, it seems like they're okay with this pandemic to not only line their pockets, but also to rid themselves of the most vulnerable, because they are taking away every social net, and they're allowing this pandemic and passing laws to not allow people to protect themselves. And it's mostly directed at the most marginalized and the most people, because they're using it to cull the herd. That's a very cynic look for all of this. But it's like allowing them to use natural selection to rid themselves of this, to die, let them go into bankruptcy, and let them just disappear, and so they don't have to take care of them. It's like they are supposed to be civil servants, but they really hate the people that they're supposed to serve, and they are allowing. And they want to protect classism and caste system because they think it's their right to do so. And they're being allowed to operate in impunity. And then you got these people that are still willing to co-sign and support because they are the ones that are most benefiting from this craziness. And when the correction comes, people like this Ron Fool and Herschel and Candace, y'all have been forewarned. We keep telling y'all, they're not going, you're going to be the first ones that they're going to seek and destroy, because it's really easy. You are the chocolate chip in this bowl of vanilla crazy ice cream. I don't know, child. We got a row on Roe v. Wade. Challenges of the last election are still ongoing, and they are suppressing the vote under a guise to protect the system, but it's an overreaction because they know they know that the only reason why they hold on, their hold on power is very tenuous. Because now a lot of more people, because so many more people had access and did vote, because they now know the power of their vote. And I think they're also shook, because as people become educated in a way with things like critical race theory and knowing and this gerrymandering and why they're trying to keep moving the jurisdictional lines, that they going to get hip to your nonsense. And they are going to do like other people. They, even though they don't have the means to fly back to, because you are basically making it very difficult for absentee voting, they will make a way for groups of people to even exercise their right to vote. And it has them shook. So you look at some of the things that they're doing in a, under the guise to suppress the system. It's an overreaction to they know the tenuousness of their own hold on power. And people are going to start looking at your track record and say, why are you still in there? And then they're going to start looking for people and voting for people that really will do the work. And it's like, you, your show or whatever, or you won't get like a show. They're going to start treating, these elections are going to start being like Netflix and Prime videos, streaming videos. If you don't get the ratings, or if you don't get the marks for doing like a report card, if you don't do anything, why are you going to still be in there? And then they're going to vote your ass out. I think this recall election that went on in California, and by the hair of his chin, President Gavin Newsom held on. I think, and it looks like it completely aged him. He always looked like Slick Willie to me. He looked like another version of a young version of Bill Clinton, but I digress. But people realize that you can't manipulate the vote, but you can come with the facts and allow people to make the decision to vote or not to vote. And I think people are going to start having these report cards and holding these politicians accountable for what they are and are not doing. And it always seems to conservatism, they are willing to ignore that. But people are not that. What has happened in this other shift is the movement. There are a younger and a more educated group of people that are loud. They're TikToking. They're doing their research and they're getting the word out there. It seems like now there's a shift in the hunger for information. But people are now, because there's a lot of misinformation is out there. So what people are looking for and doing is getting facts and muting out the noise and making a decision based on the facts. And also sharing it with other people. And I think this is why I've been talking about this, and I'll probably continue to write about this, because now I got myself questioning, you know,
I started playing the lottery again because I want to win a big chunk of money, B. Because I don't. I'm now grappling with the fact that I've made the decision to move to this red state. And every single day as I read the paper or watch the news, I had to stop watching the local news because I keep finding I've never, maybe because I haven't paid attention so much, I've never seen such a backward state legislature. If I could just remain in my blue bubble here in Hamilton County, I think I would be a lot happier. But it would be very difficult to live in this landlocked state and will I be able to exist with all this craziness that's surrounding me? How long can I actually stay here? And what would be the final straw for me to extricate myself from my U.S. existence? I'm not just talking about Tennessee. I'm talking about even the rest of the country because I am definitely a daughter of the South, and I can't imagine living anywhere else, at least full time, anywhere else in the world or in the country. I admire you, New York City, but there's too many fucking people. I can't do it. I think I'm starting with what I hate most about being in this state. And where and would I be able to exist without that? Minus the hate from entitled assholes and others that who don't look like me or who look like me. I want to have life experiences, but I want to do it on my own terms, but I don't want to do it in fear. And I think that's the issue that I wrestle with on a daily basis. Even though I'm at peace when I'm by myself, I really would like to interact with people, but I can't trust. It doesn't feel like I'm able to trust people. And that's just something I'm having to deal with. I don't know if it's social anxiety or I look at everybody's side eye because I expect everybody to do something dumb. But I think a lot of people are in my, more so people than you would think are in my position. Is it realistic at this age to want to stay in the United States full time? And what is it going to take, or what would be the last straw for us to get the hell up out of here if we really needed to? I would grab my little dog and my bank card and I'm out. Everything else can be replaced. So there you go. He keeps leaving me for dead. I don't know what you've been waiting for. So you've got your love locked up. That is a new bop from Khalid and Disclosure called Know Your Worth from their newly released single. I believe they released this just newly released. But it's a great way to groove into this next section of what I'm reading, watching, and eating. So this past week, I've actually was able to read A Bell in Brooklyn by Demetria L. Lucas. I have been a ratchet and respectable listener of her podcast for the past 2 years now. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I actually ordered this book at the height of the pandemic, but I don't know why I didn't read it when I initially purchased it, as well as then when she actually originally released this. This book was actually released, I believe, back in
2009, 2010, over a decade ago, and it was out of print, and then she put it, it came back into print when she released it for a limited run on her website. This particular podcaster is who I have fashioned my own merchandise store, as well as made some changes in my own podcast, as well as how it's structured and how I proceed in writing. And some of the topics that I actually talk about on the podcast have been influenced by not only her and the podcasters from The Read and The Black Guy Who Tips. I think I'm continuing to grow as a podcaster as I listen to hers as well as those other podcasters. But the book itself was actually a really good read, and I was wondering why I didn't read it when it was actually first published and what I've been doing in the past decade. And I'm glad I read it as a grown-ass woman. I turned 50 this year. And I realized several things. For example, that I can pull my elbow. What happens when you turn this, get this old, you basically pull and hurt stuff and you don't even realize it. You always will play the what if game, but in this book, it was the what if game. She got to play it more often. Her experiences were so varied from the time she was at the University of Maryland, which is a massive school in DC, near DC, to her time in New York. She lived in, was living her best life in Brooklyn. She dated a lot. She was a serial monogamist, married her husband, felt that it was ill. She didn't really speak on her marriage at all in the book, but it probably was ill-advised because she is not, she doesn't seem like she dates well, but she dates often. I had a sheltered upbringing because of my OCD and reclusive tendencies of a father that had PTSD. And I'm not sure her family, firmly middle class, but she was allowed to live. She went from Maryland to NYC, back to Maryland after 9/11, to NYC, then to LA. And when she first arrived, one of the first times she had actually gone to the West Coast, and the most gentlemanly guy was actually Suge Knight of all people. How she met Dwayne Wade at the beginning of his career in basketball. And she basically, her basic, even though this was more told, it's like her own autobiography about her dating life. It was only one facet of her life, but it basically shaped her opinions and her experiences shaped who she is and where she was absolutely going to go. And it put her in a unique position from her blog to the books to all of her different side hustles to her podcast. I think it prepared her to become the dynamite podcaster and personality that she is. And it seems, it's so funny that she has a hard time believing that she's absolutely a real celebrity based on her podcast. And don't get it twisted, it wasn't like she did this podcasting thing as a passion project. It was and now is paying the bills, and not just paying the bills, but allowing her to explore other things, to write screenplays and go on odysseys and write about it. And we tune in for it and we follow her on Instagram and other forms of social media. And one of the things, that's why I, Ebony's top 100 list 2021, She's listed on Ebony's top 100 list for this year. 10 spread between 10 categories. Rising star, corporate citizens, innovator of the year, entertainers of the year, game changer, trailblazer, social justice champions, excellence in journalism, community builders, and breakthrough creators. And that's where Demetria Lucas. Landed squarely in the middle with the Nene twins, their TikTok creators, Patrick Fresh Henry of Rich Fresh and Henry Mass. A lot of these people, Live Nation Urban, Brandon Pankey, Cody and Chick, The Next Gen, Ceiling Breakers, Music Impact, Swizz Beat. Timbaland is up there. Big Freedia, woohoo! Entertainment Powerhouse, Audra Day, Anthony Mackie, MJ Rodriguez, John David Washington, Reggae Jean Page of Bridgerton fame, Lisa Tommy, their game changer, Brianna Daniels, my homegirl, not my homegirl, but I follow her on Twitter. Jason Wright, the Washington football team president, innovation leaders, Isaac Hayes III, founder of Fanbase. Oh, I didn't know that. The Honey Pot Company, Beatrice Dixon, Dr. Patrice Harris, co-founder and CEO of EMED. Arlen Hamilton, founder, managing partner of Backstage Capital. And Angela Riddicks of Healthcare Pioneer. This list is available for your own purview at ebony.com/the news. Introducing the Ebony's 2021 Power List 100. This actually should not only go, just because I was mentioning it about Demetria L. Lucas, but also just in general, Positive Black News. It seems like Ebony and their online persona is making a comeback or a resurgence, as Demetria says. And this top 100 used to be a star-studded gala. But I don't know if it's in the plans or what, and where it's going to be even broadcast from. I wonder if it's going to be on BET or CBS, Viacom. You know, they seem to get all the great virtual shows. We got the talent, even contained within that list, that they could pull off the production to honor all 100 of everybody that made this list. So you guys check that out. Still watching, just to get ideas about what a screenplay kind of looks like. I'm going to probably end up taking a class, because I'm in the process of writing my own podcast script. And I think it's actually a really good idea. And I was going to do... the part three of it this week, but since I'm actually going to enter in a fictional podcast contest for 2022, I'm actually going to put a pin in that, because I'm changing up the format a little bit, and I'm going to have to get do the actual legwork on several parts of the podcast itself, or several different acts, because it's a multi-part series. I'm thinking about possibly doing 6 or 7 different parts with the culmination in maybe three. And I got three, but I actually have to clean it up and then send it in for review before I actually the deadline hits before I present it for this cover fly contest as far as fictional podcasts. But I'm excited about doing that. And Even the Rich, I think they concluded the episodes on Mariah Carey. That is an example of a great scripted podcast. In addition to my usual listen to Ratchet and Respectable, I started listening to The Black Guy Who Tips Again. Ron and Karen are absolutely doing their thing in Charlotte. And it's crazy that they're getting ready to do a virtual slash live show at the Blumenthal. It cracks me up that I can actually recognize, because I lived in Charlotte for 5 years, and I recognize where they're going to be doing the show. And it just blows me away. Maybe one day I'll be able to do my show at one of these theaters, probably in the library, because they have a pretty amazing recording studio, believe it or not, at the Chattanooga Public Library, and I think it will be well received as I continue my journey as moving forward with my podcast and my blog. I hopefully I'll get more positive new listenership, positive feedback, and a great sponsorship that I can produce the type of show that I actually want to produce. Did I go back to the shack? No, I did not. I bought enough food between their perfectly fried pork chops to their chicken that I'm still heating up in my air fryer. I still have been able to eat and continue to eat off of a lot of great food this week. I'm actually going to probably upload, just for funsies, one of those, besides the Essence, excuse me, the Ebony Top 100 list, at the top of the show is going to be my pick of one of my favorite food pick. If you really are into food porn or just into good eats, I have a thing about not just sunsets or sunrises anymore, but also just in general, noodles. Ramen is my thing. Ramen is just not for the broke. I'm so bougie. I'm topping ramen with smoked turk smoke neck bones and ham hocks, and I smoke pigtails is my latest du jour topping. Perfectly expensive and cage-free eggs also gives it, with those bright yellow orange yolks, like the sun actually is trapped in these eggs, because the chickens are fed marigold and sunflower seeds and sunflowers. The richness and the smoothness of those yolks can't be beat, and you would think $8 a freaking dozen for just to get some blue and brown speckled eggs that are not dyed, it would be so worth it. But those are the types of things that, if you follow me on Instagram, Tenfro is reading, you'll actually see some of those things also. So I encourage you to navigate to my Instagram, leave me comments on my pictures, follow me on there and on Twitter, because all of my social media accounts are interconnected, as well as on Lenny's Coat.
Yeah.
That is New Level featuring Future on ASAP Ferg's Always Strive and Prosper. And I'm claiming this. My goal for the remainder of this year is to either get a very great sponsorship or have several income replacing donations to my podcast to allow me to continue or to produce the type of podcast that I absolutely can produce. I'm encouraged with the ability that I'm going to actually probably produce separately the remake of my podcast and re-release of the ongoing saga of Black Woman Down at a later date, hopefully by the end of this week, with all of the sound effects, but with a little bit of difference in the dialogue. And I hope you would tune back in to actually listen to that. I believe that this podcast itself this week is long enough. Don't forget to navigate to Chatterbooks and my blog shop to pick up merch, as well as to buy the books that I actually mentioned on this week's podcast. Always, as usual, there's people that knew glitter bombs and 6-foot chocolate penises. Navigate to shipitbackdicks.com using my promo code TenFroGotJokes to get a percentage off of your order. And if you feel like tipping the sister, I accept anything from 50 cents to 500 bucks. You can use my Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal tags in order to leave me a tip. The details are in the podcast notes. And as always, this was absolutely fun to actually produce, to write, and I hope you had as much fun and was entertained as I was in creating it. And as always, thank you for listening. And I will shout you out if you leave me non-trolling comments on wherever you listen to podcasts. And thank you for tuning in, and I hope I will see you later on this week in part 3 or the rewrite of Black Woman Down.